Well, hello. I'm glad to see you today. Glad that you're here. Glad to see this crowd. I want to welcome those worshiping with us online. I'm also glad to hear you sing today. You were singing. Did you know that? Yes, we could hear you. There's so many of you, and you're doing such a good job. Bill was so excited, he just quit and listened to you for a while. Did you pick up on that? Because he likes it when you do that. I do, too. So I'm so glad. I wonder if you're watching at home, do you do that at home? Do you really let it belt out? Because who's going to hear you, right? You're by yourself. Just go for it. Send it to us sometime. Make a video. Send it to us sometime. You might make it on stage. We might show it. It might be a solo. Or not. But anyway, it sounds like you're in a good mood today. Are you in a good mood?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to talk about being generous, so that's good. I'm glad you're in a good mood, and I'm glad that you want to be generous people. I know that you do. Now, today I want to start by asking you a question. I'm going to give you a little test here today, and I want to see, but I'm going to give you a specific option. It's a multiple choice. You don't just say whatever. You're going to fill in the blank, okay? So I'm going to give you a multiple choice, and let me ask you this question. What are you good at when it comes to money? What are you good at when it comes to money? What did they say?
Spending it.
Well, don't be getting ahead of me. I've got my first point is coming up here. And some of you, how many of you here today would say you're good at spending it?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, you're good at it? Okay. Some of you have the spiritual gift of spending. That's right. Now, there's others of you that are really good at bargain hunting. How many of you are really good at bargain hunting? You find something 50% off, you buy it, you bring it home, and you say, just look at how much money I saved you. That's what you say, because you like to bargain hunt. So they're spending and bargain hunting. Now, here's the really big one, okay? Are you ready? How many of you are good at saving? You people are nothing like the people at the 9 o'clock service. You know what the people at 9 o'clock said? They said they were good at all three. That's impossible. You can't do that. No. Nay. I disagree. So you're not as good at spending in here. What's the difference with y'all in 9 o'clock?
We're honest.
What'd they say?
We're honest.
I was going to say the 9 o'clock people are lying. And you are honest people. At least I know my audience now. I know who I'm working with, right? Well, I want to talk about that because here's the interesting thing. In Scripture, you'll never find a verse that talks about being great at shopping. It's not in the Bible. Also, you'll never find a single verse in the Bible that talks about bargain hunting. You might have thought that might be in there, right? In fact, you won't find a single verse in the Bible that talks about saving for things here on earth. But it does say lay up treasure for yourself in heaven. Don't keep it here where moth and rust come in and destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So I want us to think about that. Now, let me ask you this last one. How many would say that there are a lot of Bible verses about giving? There's a ton. There's a lot about giving. So if that's the case, and if we are students of the Bible, and we are children of God, maybe we ought to pay attention to that, you think? And today we're going to talk about the message is more than enough. Last week I talked about having two mindsets. I said some people have what kind of mindset? The first one. What was the first one? I want to thank both of you for knowing the answer. We received the benediction. I'm so depressed, I'm just going to go home now. How many of you had the number one mindset, the
bag.
Yes. Thank you. They knew it at 9 o'clock. They may be liars, but they knew it, okay? The bag mindset says, I take what I've got, I put it in the bag. Problem is, the bag has a hole in the bottom of it. I can't ever fill it up. I'm constantly filling up the bag. The second mindset was the
barn
mindset. See, you're coming around. You're waking up. Okay, so the barn mindset says we have more than enough. Look at the person next to you and say, We have more than enough. Tell them that right now. Now, the Apostle Paul last week, we said that he was talking to the Christians in Corinth. He was talking to these Christians in Corinth, and he was explaining to them about what they are to do. And he was saying, I want you to learn to be generous like Jesus is generous. So he's talking to them. Now, here's what happened. He says that what they started doing was they listened, they heard the message, and they started giving. But then something happened, and they quit giving. And so later on, he says, I'm going to send somebody back by. We're going to see the scripture in just a minute. I'm going to send somebody back by to give you a refresher course. You started out, you were doing the right thing, and then for some reason, you got preoccupied, you got distracted. Maybe something else came up, and you decided to go that direction, and so you didn't continue to give. Now, they had what's called good intentions, right? I mean, they even started out doing it, but then they just kind of faded. And so he's saying, you know what? I want to remind you, because it's a way for you to be generous. I want you to learn about God. I want you to learn what it's like to be like him. And so I want you to follow through. So this is what he says. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. And that's what we want to talk about today, finishing the ministry of giving. What month is this? I'm glad you knew that, see, because that's not good if you don't. Okay, so let's say at the first of the year you made a decision and you said, okay, I'm going to give this much to God this year, and you figured it out, and then you went on vacation, and then you got sick, and you missed some services, and you were out of pocket, and so you really have gotten behind. And if you were to look at your giving today, it wouldn't be where you want it to be. And all I want to encourage you to do is finish strong. It's not over. There's still a year left. And so this is an opportunity for you to look and say, you know what? I need to catch up a little bit. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to get behind, but I have. And so I'm going to give. And that's what you learn to do, because giving is spiritual. It's a spiritual ministry. It's like praying. You know, praying and fasting, those are spiritual, aren't they? Reading the Bible, that's spiritual. Going on a mission trip, that's spiritual. Serving, that's spiritual. But I want you to realize that giving is also spiritual. It's a ministry that God gives us so that we might share and we might learn to give. And if you're serving here at the church, in the two-year-old room, that may be the most spiritual thing you ever do, right there. I can remember when our granddaughter was two, and she would just go from one thing to another. We've got video of her talking to her mother. She's telling the dog what to do. She's telling her mother what to do. She's telling her mother what the dog is not doing. Then she says, out of the blue, she goes, let's do the blessing. Let's say the blessing, because that's on her mind. And then we say, and before she can say that, she's off on something else. You know, they're just going 90 miles an hour, aren't they? And so it says this, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. He's saying, you excel in miracles, you excel in gifted communicators, you excel in knowledge of God, you excel in spiritual enthusiasm, you excel in showing love. I want you to be great at excelling in giving. I want you to learn to give and follow through. And how many of you would say that you've ever thought about giving something, but you didn't? Don't raise your hands. But here's what happens. You know, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking and you're listening and you're reading the scripture and you think, I feel compelled to do that. I ought to do that. And you think you're going to do it, and then it just kind of slips your mind, and you forget. Write it down. Put it on your phone. You know, God is speaking to me, and I need to respond to him. I want to do what he's calling me to do. I remember Laura and I went on a vacation one time. We were up in Tennessee. We were visiting family, and we took a bunch of the extended family. We went to an amusement park in Chattanooga, and it was really hot that day, but we went and had a great time. And after it was over, you know, different parts of the family were going different ways. Laura and I went to dinner together, and we went to this little place. It wasn't anything special, but we had dinner together there, and we were so impressed by our server. Our server didn't have enough help. But she didn't let that get her down. She was Johnny on the spot. She was moving around, taking care of everybody, smiling the whole time. You know, how can I help you? Bringing out food. I mean, if everybody in that restaurant had worked like her, those people would have had all kinds of business. It was amazing. And we were so impressed with her. And so we just would talk to her, but she was so busy, we couldn't talk much. Well, after things slowed down, everybody got fed. And then she had a little more time. She came over to the table, and we started talking to her. And we said, boy, you sure are good at what you do. She said, thank you. I appreciate that. We said, now tell us, what else do you do? She said, well, I live here in town, and I have a ministry. I said, oh, tell me about that. She said, well, we're starting a new ministry for people, and here's what we want to do, and here's what we've done, and I got a lot of people helping, and, you know, I'm just thankful for the privilege. And, you know, it wasn't something where she got paid to do it. It was just something she felt called to do. And she had other jobs, and I don't know how she had time to do that, but she felt compelled to do it. And so as we talked to her about it, it was really interesting to us. And we said, you know, Laura and I started talking to each other after she left the table. And I said, you know, I feel like we ought to give her something. And Laura said, I do too. And I hadn't told her how much. And somebody had given me a $100 bill. I had a $100 bill. And I said, well, what should we give her? And Laura said, I think we ought to give her that $100 bill. I said, that's exactly what I thought. And so she came back to the table and she gave us the bill. And it's like 20 bucks, you know. And so we got the money out to pay for that. And then we put a tip down for that. And then we said, now look, we want to give you this to you as well. This is for you. And we gave her that $100 bill and her eyes got big. And she said, are you sure? We said, yeah, we are. We feel God prompted us, the Holy Spirit prompted us to give you this gift for your ministry. We just want to encourage you. We're thankful for your attitude and your spirit. You're a person who's a giver, we can tell, because of the way you've been waiting on us and so many other people. We just wanted to encourage you and show you that. And she was so encouraged and so grateful, and we gave it to her. Now, let me ask you a question. What would have happened if we weren't obedient to the Holy Spirit? What would have happened? Well, we would have missed out on contributing to the Lord's work. She would have missed out on the encouragement and the blessing of the gift. But I can tell you, when we left, I don't know how she felt, but Laura and I felt better. It wasn't just because of the food. We just felt like it was a divine appointment, and we were in a place where God was at work, and we were so grateful. Let me ask you a question. How can you tell when the Holy Spirit is prompting you to give? How can you tell? Well, let me ask you another question as an answer to that question. When has the devil ever tempted you to be generous? Really? Anybody want to give a testimony on that? I was talking to the devil the other day. He said, I ought to give more to God. No, I just don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen, is it? We want to be generous. We think about being generous. We plan on it, but maybe we got started, but we just didn't stay with it. We know nobody ever comes to, because you have to work at it. You have to plan. You have to think ahead to make something happen. Nobody ever just goes to the piano, walks over there and just starts playing like a concert pianist. I don't know what happened. Didn't even know I could play the piano. Walked over there and saw it, sat down and just took off, and la-di-da, there it was. It's just a gift. I don't know how it happened. How many people ever say, you know what? I didn't know I could do it, but I went in the kitchen, I got a butcher knife, and I did open heart surgery. I had no idea, and I was good at it too. I mean, people were lining up saying, can I be next? It was amazing, you know, because I just did it. You know, that stuff doesn't happen, does it? Nobody ever accidentally becomes irrationally generous, do they? You have to plan on it. You have to think about it, because we are naturally selfish people. It's like the two-year-old I talked about last week. They're naturally selfish. Give them a gift, take it away from them, they'll let you know how they feel about that. They'll be upset about it, won't they? And so you don't have to teach them how to be a person who's selfish. Think about it this way. Have you ever been in a big group of people and they made a group picture, a group photo? When you got the picture and you looked at it, who'd you look at first? Everybody in the picture looks great. They all look tremendous, and you got a smile on your face like Forrest Gump. right? We got to take the picture again. I look terrible. You all look good, but I don't look that good. And so we just do that. Nobody ever becomes irrationally generous by accident. Isaiah says this, be generous people. Plan to do what is generous, and they stand firm in their generosity. Generous people plan to do. They what? They plan to do it, don't they? The Bible says they got a plan. You've got a plan if you want to be generous and you want to give. What's interesting is that most of us don't plan to be generous. We don't. I mean, what do you plan? You plan a vacation. I was talking to a lady in the last service. She said, I won't be here next Sunday. I said, why not? She said, I'm going on a cruise. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to Hawaii. I said, don't let Laura know. She'll jump in your luggage and go with you. She wants to go there. But you have to plan ahead for that, don't you? Maybe you want to remodel the kitchen. You don't just get up one morning and say, okay, start tearing everything out. We're going to remodel. No, you make a plan and you look and you plan. What colors am I going to use? How am I going to situate this? What's going to be different? How about a party? Yeah, you got a plan to have a party, right? Or maybe a date. Some of you don't plan well enough for a date. That's why you don't get one. You call at the 11th hour and say, how about a date? And they say, when? And you say, now. And they say, no thanks. You got to call me earlier than this. You can't wait this late to call, right? Now, most people don't plan their giving. But God teaches us that's what he wants us to do. A lot of people, they'll just give spontaneously. I just felt like I would give. This is something I wanted to give, and so I gave it. And that's okay. You can do that. But you will never be generous if all you ever do is give spontaneously. What do we know? Giving is what we do, but generous is who we are. Giving is an action, but generosity is a mindset. I got to make a plan if I'm going to do that. So to be generous, I might have to change my mindset from a bag to a barn, right? And stand firm and not just start, but continue to give. And so we're going to look at three qualities of people who are generous today. The first one is this. Generous people give willingly. They give willingly. It says in 2 Corinthians, last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now, finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. So generous people give willingly, don't they? It's not just the amount, but it's the heart that God is looking for. In other words, somebody might give a bigger gift, but they have a lot more to give from. You might give a smaller gift, but it might be a lot more to give for you. So whenever you give with the right heart. And you say, well, you know, I'm going to do that because Joe said to do that. Nay, nay. You don't do that because I said so. You do that because the Bible says so. You want to feel better. It's not just something to do to feel better. It's not to impress people on social media, but it is to honor God and to bless other people. When you give to the heart, you have to because you want to because you've chosen to. All that God has done for us, he has blessed us. We want to bless him and others. Then second, generous people give proportionately. They give in proportion to what they have. Somebody might give $10, but that's a lot for them. Somebody might give $1,000, but it's no big deal for them. And so God says, you know, be generous in what you have. Be generous, people. Give in proportion to what you have. And then it says this, give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly, and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. See, God gives us all. He blesses us all. And he does that so that we might have enough to share with other people in need. That's what we want to do. You want to do that. You want to help people. You see people who need help, and you want to do that. And so he says, now I want you to prioritize and give that portion to God first. Leviticus, it says this, a tithe is everything from the land, whether grain or in the soil, or fruit from the trees, it belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The word maser, M-A-S-S-E-R, that's a Hebrew word. It means one-tenth. And so even in the Old Testament, the New Testament, God teaches us to give back to Him. Cain and Abel, He taught them to give back. He said, I want you to give from the first fruits. Whatever you receive, I want you to give from the first. Why? Because I want you to learn to trust me in this area because I want your heart. And you will give. Last week we said love does what? Love gives. That's right. Love gives. And so we give because we love God. And over again, He teaches us to do that. And I told you last week, some of you are sitting there saying, if I were to give 10% back to God, I would have to rearrange my whole life around God. Exactly. You got it. You're hearing what I'm telling you. That's what I'm trying to get across. I mean, to give 10% to God, I'd have to do that. And Paul says, essentially, prioritize that portion that you're giving. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. So generous people, they don't just give haphazardly, but they give proportionately. They plan ahead, they trust God, and they do it. I remember when I was in college and they taught me, I was 21 years old, and they taught me how to tithe. And I remember writing that check, and it seemed so big to me when I was getting ready to put that in the offering plate. That was a big check for me to give. I'd never done that before. And I did it. And I was so thankful. God said, test me in this and see if I want to open up the floodgates of heaven and bless you. And that's what He did. And so God, you know, He provides for us. He provides materially, financially, spiritually, relationally. And we just say, God, You've blessed me, and I want to bless You and others. And so we see the Scripture says the tithe belongs to God. And if you don't do anything to be generous, you never will be. You're going to have to make a decision to do that. Now, you'll never by accident give generously. It's something you have to plan. So you give willingly. You give proportionately. And then number three, generous people give sacrificially. They don't just give when it's easy or when they're comfortable. They give when it's difficult. And Jesus told a powerful story in Mark. And He says, Jesus sat down near the collection box at the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. And let me just pause right there for just a minute and say it's sobering to think that Jesus is watching us give. But it spells it out in Scripture there pretty clearly, doesn't it? He's looking at it and He's saying, huh, I see where your heart is. I see where your heart is. I can tell by your giving. And then He looked beyond that, and it said, many rich people put in large amounts, and then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. And what did Jesus do? He said, now, boys, come here a minute. He called the disciples. He said, not only am I looking, but I want to teach you something. I want to teach you something about giving. I want to teach you something about people's hearts. I want you to see what this lady just did. And He said this, Jesus called His disciples to Him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. And that was a sermon right there. She preached them a sermon that day, and we're still talking about her today. It doesn't talk specifically about the wealthy person that was putting something in, but it says this lady right here, this poor widow, she gave. Some of us might be like the widow. Some people in here might give financial resources. You give your time, you give your faithfulness, you give your service. Others, not so much. It's not something you've learned how to do yet. I would ask you to think about, when is the last time you gave sacrificially? When was the last time you made the decision? Maybe to give your time, to give your service, to give your faithfulness, but also to give your resources to God. Laura and I were tithing when we were going through infertility. We were paying to go to counseling. We were paying for her medicine. We were paying and writing checks to specialists for her to try to get pregnant. We'd write checks for $500, $700. We didn't have that kind of money. and surgery. She had to have surgery. We did all kinds of things. And we were struggling emotionally and financially, but we kept tithing. An amazing thing happened. 1988 was a really bad year for us. It was very difficult. We struggled through it, but we kept tithing. And then God turned the page, and 1989 came. And the people of the church showed up one day and they said, you've been preaching some pretty good sermons, and I hope you've been listening to them, because we messed up on your check. And for the last 6 months of the year, we failed to give you $200 a month that really should belong to you. And we were so out of it, I didn't even notice it. And we kept tithing. And they said, here, and they wrote us a check for $2,400. Now, I don't know about you, but back in the day, $2,400 was a lot of money to Laura and me, because we didn't make a lot of money back then. But that's not all. The second thing that happened was Laura's Aunt Emma sent us a check out of the blue for $10,000. Now, she could have given that to us when we got out of graduate school, because that's about how much our debt was. She could have given it to us after she died, because she died later that year, in the fall of the year. But she said, no, I'm going to give it to you now in January. I'm going to give it to you now when you need it, she said. She said, I'm going to give it to you now before my toes curl up so I can watch you enjoy it. And we were so grateful. And we just felt like God was saying, I am paying attention to you. You didn't think I was looking, but I'm looking. I'm watching. I'm right there with you every day. And I know about your struggles, and I wanted to bless you. It was like God was saying, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. And we were so grateful. And we took that money and we paid some bills. And then we took a little vacation just to get out of town. We had spring break, and we just went on this little vacation. Where were two married adult people who were trying to get pregnant? Where would we go on vacation? Disney World? Really? That's where we went. We didn't go to the Magic Kingdom. Back then, they had this new thing just started called MGM. We went to that. And we went to Epcot, and we just tried to enjoy each other's company. We went to dinner one night. We walked into a bookstore. Laura loves books, and I just saw the autobiography of Walt Disney. I took it off the shelf. I started looking at it, a little paperback, and I bought it. And I took it home, and in the hotel that night, I read the whole thing. I was laying in bed, and I'm reading about Walt Disney. He had so many failures. I don't know how he kept going every day. He just had one failure after another. And I thought, man, this guy, he's amazing. I would have quit before this. He didn't quit. And then he said this. There was this one time where my wife and I got depressed. What depressed? Walt Disney. He's been defeated so many times. He said, my wife and I were trying to have kids. We couldn't get pregnant. And then later on, we adopted a daughter. And then we had a daughter. And they had two daughters. How many kids do we have? What are they? Two daughters. And I mean, I was laying in the bed reading that book, and I literally looked up at the ceiling. I looked up to heaven, and I said, man, you really are paying attention. You really are sending me messages that you're keeping up with my life. And I want to thank you. And I was so encouraged by that. You know, what they're talking about here, what Paul is saying is, hey, don't be like the Corinthians. Don't just start giving and stop. Be like the Macedonians. Last week we talked about how poor they were, but how generous they were. And he said, Corinthians, you could learn something from the Macedonians, because they give, they beg us to give. They don't have enough. We try to get them not to give. They said, no, no, no. We want to give. Please let us give. And they beg to give. They give willingly, joyfully, hilariously, thankfully. They give in proportion to what they've been given. So today I want to encourage us. Let's be givers. Let's be like God. God's a giver. Let's be givers. Let's don't think about it, not do it, but let's start doing it. And let's put it into practice, and then let's don't stop. Let's just keep on giving. It's the end of the year. It's got a little bit of time left. It's a chance for you to make up if maybe you haven't done as you wanted to do, if maybe you started but you've gotten fallen away from it. Hey, this is a chance for you to give because God wants your heart. And the way that he teaches you to do that is by giving to him. And then he sees your heart when you give. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this amazing church of people, this group of people who are growing in generosity. I want to thank you that you have given to our church in such a way that we're able to give to ministries all over the world to make a difference. God, I pray that you would help us to excel at generosity. I pray that we would do it faithfully, that we wouldn't just start and stop, but that we would do it from now on. Father, I ask you to stir our hearts. Give us an abundance mindset, a barn mindset, to give to you first, to trust you, to learn that that's a way we can bless you and others, to empower your church, to bless your people in need, to occasionally give spontaneously, but to give strategically. God, you so loved us that you gave us your one and only Son, Jesus, and he came and he gave himself willingly for us. And God, you made a sacrifice for us. Jesus made a sacrifice for us. The one who had never sinned, the Lamb of God, was slain so that we might be forgiven of our sins. God, you raised him from the dead, and you taught us that anybody who calls on his name can be forgiven. Today, Jesus, we just say that we thank you that you have forgiven us of our sins. We're not here by accident. We're here because you've called us to this place.